Welcome to episode 1 of season 3 of The Doctrine of Christ. We have so many great topics lined up for this season that is so relevant to the days and times we are living in. So the question is, are you as excited about this season as we are? I want to know.
We want to welcome everyone to the first episode of season 3 of The Doctrine of Christ. And I am so thankful to be here with Brother Jimmy Cooper, and I'm excited. I tell you, Jimmy, since we closed out season 2, there have been so many things that have come against us and you personally. All kinds of computer problems, YouTube channels taken down, unbelievable stuff. But we're back, and we're coming at the kingdom of darkness. And there's no plan B. Man, I'm excited.
I'm excited too, man. We planned on taking 4 weeks off, and it ended up being like 10 weeks.
Yeah.
But God is good. I know that timing is going to be great, and I can't wait to hear what you got.
Well, I'm excited, and in this first episode, we're going to be introducing another one of the great Puritan writers. We've never featured him before on The Doctrine of Christ, and it's Thomas Brooks. And Thomas Brooks, he was born in 1608. He passed in 1680, and he spent most all of his ministry in the city of London. And there were so many of these awesome teachers in London in that time period. It was really something. And
what is it about London? You got all these best bands ever, you know, all these great bands come from England. All these great Puritan ministers come from England. And
well, the British people, they're great people.
They are.
And they're a brave and an intelligent people and very studious. And in England in that time period, there were a lot of things that put together this entire scenario. There was the Protestant Reformation that began in the 16th century, and then during the reign of Bloody Mary, there was persecution unto the death that separated the wheat from the chaff, and this set the stage for believers that knew and understood what persecution was.
Yeah.
And the depth of learning, if someone has not read the Puritans, they don't understand the depth of knowledge and spirituality and a devotion to Christ that they possessed.
It seems a little different than what we're used to these days.
It's totally different, and it's so refreshing. I mean, it's so refreshing. And in 1662, they passed what was called the Law of Conformity. And this basically said that the only church services that are legal are there in the Church of England, and that you had to follow the Book of Common Prayer, and that you had to wear a mask and social distance. Oh, wait a minute. I got that mixed up. No, that's now, isn't it? Okay. But I don't know. This guy might not be a good example. Thomas Brooks actually rebelled, disobeyed the government, and held illegal church services. Oh, yeah. And he actually he got run out of his church. But he actually, they would come back into the building they had, and they would have illegal meetings in the church where it was run out. So I like this guy already, you know? And
So he had kind of an underground church thing going on?
Yeah, he would, and he never got arrested. So he was, this is what got Bunyan.
That's a plug for your new YouTube channel. It just went right over you.
So yeah, the underground church, yeah. FOJC Underground Church YouTube. The guy there looks a lot like me.
Yeah.
But, the act of conformity, that's what got Bunyan and others arrested and imprisoned. But Thomas Brooks must have been pretty slick because, as far as I know, I don't think he was ever arrested. But this is the book. And our teaching to kick off season three, it's going to be called The Seven Marks of a False Teacher. And the seven marks, which we will be putting scripture to and discussing and bringing it into what's relevant for us now. And it's just amazing.
So Jesus taught about the false teachers?
Oh, yeah. And we're going to see it. And it's such a, I mean, this was front burner on the doctrine of Christ. Now, I'll hold this book up. It's called Precious Remedies Against Satan Devices. Precious Remedies Against Satan Devices. And the 7 points, the 7 marks of a false teacher are going to be coming right from Brother Brooks. And I fell, this was the first book that I've ever read by Thomas Brooks, and I fell in love with this book immediately. And I'm sure that we'll be referring to it more. But let's get to work. Let's go to the doctrine of Christ. And whether you know it or not, the doctrine of Christ is the most important thing in your life.
Amen.
The most important. And let's go to Matthew chapter 24 and verse 11. Matthew chapter 24.
I seem to be reading Matthew 24 a lot these days.
You know, we was talking with John the other day. It seems like every teaching we do, whether it's on Now You See TV here or the Doctrine of Christ on Jimmy Vision, Matthew 24 is there, blessing. It's just there. And because that's where we're at. You know, we're here. Yeah. You know, this is where we're at. And the word of God is so amazing, and you can read a man that's a real man of God and talk the truth. What Thomas Brooks said in the 1600s, it's just as real and powerful and amazing right now. Mm-hmm. The word of God is supernatural. It's never irrelevant. It's inexhaustible and unsearchable. Matthew chapter 24, verse 11, and many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. Didn't say be just a few. It said, and many. And in Matthew chapter 7, we'll read another text from the doctrine of Christ as a springboard. Matthew chapter 7, verse 15. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? And over, Jesus repeatedly warned about false prophets, false Christ, false teachers, deception. He said, there's not just going to be one or two here or there. Many.
Many.
Many. We did the DOC about the parable of 11, where it's all going to go bad. You know, it's the remnant. You know, this isn't about telling people of all the good out there. This is about telling people that Jesus is good and it's a remnant and that's good. So that's what this is all about. But let's begin with the first characteristic of a false teacher as per Thomas Brooks. Number one, false teachers are men pleasers. Such are not true teachers. Oh boy. False teachers are men pleasers. Now, I would say that this eliminates, and I'm probably being kind, 99% of people that are in pulpits on Sunday morning, 99% of what you're going to hear on so-called Christian radio, 99% of your so-called stuff off YouTube. Today, you seldom get anything out of anybody that is going to bring them persecution. They're going to tell your local church, they're not going to tell you the truth about masks. They're not going to tell you the truth about COVID, about vaccines, about almost anything. Because if they tell people the truth, they're going to be persecuted. And we're coming into the time where telling the truth is going to be persecuted even more than it is right now.
Well, it's like one of our last episodes of season two was talking about how they are under the headship of the government now, not the headship of Christ.
Yeah.
In the episode about the 501c3 church.
Yeah. And we warned people about that. And man, that's a trap that's going to come shut on people. And I know there's a lot of people that love the Lord in these churches. And even a lot of people that are the head of these churches, they don't understand it all.
That's the way they were taught.
People, it's a trap, man. And it's gonna snap shut. And just think of this. Just think of this statement. False teachers are men pleasers. Such are not true teachers. You're a false teacher. And you see, it doesn't matter if somebody gets in a pulpit on a Sunday morning and preaches a sermon that's every word true. If they are deliberately withholding truth that they know that will cause them to be persecuted, they're a false teacher. So, you know, you could have people, and you see, people cannot deceive other people and manipulate them unless there's a lot of good truth that they have. Every deceiver has a lot of truth.
Yeah.
So this is the thing. And let's read some scriptures. In Galatians chapter 1, verse 10, Paul said, "For do I now persuade man or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ." You cannot be a man pleaser and a God pleaser at the same time. This is what Brother Books said. If you're not telling people the truth and standing up for the things that need to be said, even if it brings you persecution, you're a false teacher. You're a false teacher, and you should be avoided and totally rebuked and run from. No middle ground here. You're either a real teacher and you're going to stand up and declare the whole counsel of God, or just shut up and go get a job flipping hamburgers. You'd do a lot more good.
This just reminds me of one of my favorite all-time Petra songs was called, I don't know what the full name of the song was, but it was called God Pleaser.
Yeah.
It's like, I want to be a God pleaser, don't want to be a man pleaser. I just want to do the things that please the Father's heart was part of the chorus.
Yeah.
It's a great song. You should check it out. It had nothing to do with me.
Yeah, I got it. I got that. It's right. I probably got it right here in this case right here.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And that should be our heart.
Yeah.
It should be our heart. You know, be not conformed to the world. That means be not conformed to the world. Conform to Christ. Well, if that costs us persecution, blessed are ye. We're going to be in the Beatitudes very soon. Let's look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. "For yourselves, brethren, know our entrance in unto you, that it was not in vain, but even after that we had suffered before and were shamefully entreated, as ye know at Philippi, we were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God with much contention." They were shamefully treated. They had much contention, but they were bold in their God to speak unto them the gospel. "For our exhortation was not of deceit, nor of uncleanness, nor in guile, but as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God, which trieth our hearts." We have to have men and women that will stand up and speak the truth, regardless of the consequences, trusting our God that he will enable us to put forth his truth. And the second that this point is compromised, that person becomes a false teacher. He is not a part of the solution. He or she is a part of the problem. This is such a great place to start in identifying false teachers. And I'll read Mr. Brooks' statement again. He made in the 1600s. "False teachers are men pleasers. Such are not true teachers. This is the first thing when you're looking at somebody. If they're a man pleaser, you know what they are. You know what they are. And that's just the way it is. Let's look at a few scriptures from the Old Testament. This is the standard before and after the cross. There is no compromise. This is a clear way to discern a true teacher from a false one. And let's go to Isaiah chapter 30, and let's read verse 9 and 10. This is a rebellious people, lying children, children that will not hear the law of the Lord, which say to the seers, see not, and to the prophets, prophesy not unto us right things, but speak unto us smooth things, prophesy deceits. They don't really want to hear the law of the Lord. They want the smooth things. Oh, yeah. Jeremiah chapter 5. Let's look at a few out of the prophet Jeremiah. And you know, there was no wiggle room here in the prophets of old or in the apostles in the New Testament. There was no ambiguity here. You're either a God pleaser or a man pleaser. You're a true teacher or you're a false one. And we cannot hold back one bit of the full counsel of God, or we will instantly become a false teacher. Jeremiah, let's look at Jeremiah chapter 5, verses 30 and 31. A wonderful and horrible thing is committed in the land. The prophets prophesy falsely, and the priests bear rule by their means, and my people love to have it so. The reason why apostate churches exist, people like them. They don't want to take a stand. They're a coward, so they want a preacher that's a coward, you know? So that's why these false teachers continue, is because people with backslidden hearts support them. That's exactly why. It's no great mystery.
Was it Jesus or was it one of the apostles that said that in the end times, men would be trying to find pastors or shepherds or whatever that would tickle their ears and they would just...
Yeah.
What am I thinking about there?
Yeah, it was the Apostle Paul in Timothy, heaping to them teachers with itching ears. Yeah, I thought we probably got that one in here, Jimmy, I bet. I don't know for sure, but we might just see that scripture.
Yeah. Well, it just seems to go right along with what Isaiah said and Jeremiah said.
Yeah, that's in Timothy, and I bet Sister Donna could find that for us here. Now, let's go to Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse 13. In Jeremiah 6 and 13, from the least of them, even unto the greatest of them, every one is given to covetousness, and from the prophet even unto the priest, every one of them dealeth falsely. Now, how can they all deal falsely? And that's because they're in a corrupt religious system. And when the foundation is destroyed, what can the righteous do? So yeah, they're all rotten. And, you know, this is another thing that we want to try to kind of marginalize, but the word says what it says. In Jeremiah 23, we'll read one more scripture on this point before we move on. Jeremiah chapter 23 and verse 16 and 17. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, hearken not unto the words of the prophets that prophesy unto you. They make you vain. They speak a vision of their own heart and not out of the mouth of the Lord. They say still unto them that despise me, the Lord hath said, ye shall have peace. And they say unto you, every one that walketh after the imagination of his own heart, no evil shall come upon you. And there's such evil that's coming upon the people of God. And today, the false prophets, get your vaccination. It'll be fine. Put your mask on. Get your vaccination. We're going to get raptured. Lies, lies, deadly lies, you see. And man pleaser, false teacher. It's either this or that. There's no in between there. And it's time for people to clearly see that. Now, Sister Donna found that scripture for us you referred to. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 3. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they keep to themselves teachers having itching ears. And this is exactly of what you said. I mean, if you want to sell out, if you want to compromise, if you want to keep your mouth shut about the abortion and the abomination of homosexuality that's in our nation, if you want to shut up about gay marriage, shut up about babies being murdered, you can find a church where you will fit right in. But it will do nothing but send your soul to hell. Following a false teacher will take you straight to hell. And we said a statement I made that you are trusting your soul to the Bible you read. And you are also trusting your soul to the teachers that you trust to speak into your life.
Amen.
It's a serious thing.
Amen.
Point number two from Brother Brooks. False teachers are notable in casting dirt, scorn, and reproach upon the persons, names, and credits of Christ's most faithful ambassadors. And boy, we have lived this. And here's what happens, and it always happens this way, that when you come against a false teaching that can be an obviously demonic wackadoodle teaching, what they will do is come back and attack you. And it's always personalized. And you can just take it to the bank. This is the way it happens. And we've seen this personally over and over and over. In the book of Numbers, chapter 16 and verse 3, the text says, "And they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron and said unto them, ye take too much upon you, seeing all the congregation are holy, every one of them, and the Lord is among them. Wherefore then lift ye up yourselves above the congregation of the Lord." Yeah, Moses, you're just lifting yourself up a little too much. God speaking to all of us, what is it about you, Moses? You know, and they'll attack you. And I love this next scripture. I love it. Of course, I say that about them all. But man, I've had this just like old Paul. I mean, this is the Apostle Paul, and this is me too. 2 Corinthians in chapter 10 and verse 10, it says, and this is what his critics said, "For his letters, they say, are weighty and powerful, but his bodily presence is weak and his speech contemptible." Yeah, Paul can write a pretty good letter, but man, have you ever seen that guy? You know, and he can't talk.
Little guy.
Yeah, he's can't talk and doesn't look too good. You know, attack the messenger. You know,
I imagine Paul didn't look too good. He got beat up everywhere he went.
Yeah, he sure did. And you know, this is the way they do. Yeah. And, you know, people that have the Spirit of God, they can recognize this. These people are false teachers. You don't establish truth by ridiculing an individual. You establish truth, and it's fair game to take the word of God and rebuke false teaching. But you do not personalize it and make fun of how a person looks or how they talk. And every time, and I'm not going to bore everybody with a laundry list of experiences I could of the things that have been said about us that anybody that knows us knows they're just outright porkies. But this is one of the marks of a false teacher. And man, if you just watch, you can see it over and over and over. And they did it with Jesus too. In Matthew chapter 27, and we'll read verse 63, Matthew chapter 27 and verse 63, saying, "Sir, we remember that deceiver said, while he was yet alive, after 3 days, I will rise again. Yeah. Just call the sinless Son of God some names, a deceiver. You know, we'll give you the truth. You just call us some names. That's what they do. And these are obvious games, but these are games that false teachers play, and they identify. When people do that, you know what they are. You see a man pleaser, false prophet. You see someone doing this, false teacher, you see. And we need to identify people and put them out of our life. Number three, false teachers are venters of the devices and visions of their own heads and hearts. Oh boy, could not have been said any better. And let's put a text of scripture with this from the prophet Jeremiah. And if you listen to a lot of these guys, and I hope that you don't, but they'll rattle on for an hour. You never hear a scripture from them. And every time that we teach, whether it's here on Jimmy Vision or Now You See TV or FOJC, you're going to get the scriptures. You're going to get the scriptures in context, in the light of the doctrine of Christ. That's what's going to help people. There's this one ministry, and they'll come up with some kind of a revelation from an inside source, and they'll rattle on for it for an hour, and then it'll prove to be a bunch of nonsense. And then they'll come up with another one. They don't teach the scripture, and when they even try, it'd be better if they didn't. But we got another big revelation. It looks like after a while, people would figure that this is just a false teacher and a deceiver, you know.
I have a friend that would call that like word salad.
I love it. Word salad. Yeah.
Yep.
Without any dressing, right. Not even with vinaigrette. I like that. Yeah, word salad. Jeremiah 14:14. And you know, these are obvious. These are obviously right scripturally, but people just really need to take this to heart and get people out of their lives that are obviously false teachers. Jeremiah 14:14, and the text says here, "Then the Lord said unto me, the prophets prophesy lies in my name. I sent them not, neither have I commanded them, neither spake unto them. They prophesy unto you a false vision and divination and a thing of naught and the deceit of their heart." Now, here's, there's so much here, but that word divination, if you look at Deuteronomy 18, this is abomination to God. This is an actual occult practice. And when these people just lie and make stuff up, and they're just teaching not the word of God, but just the vain deceit of their heart, something happens, and dark spirits get involved, and they become to be demonically controlled and manipulated. And literally, they are speaking forth divination because they have chosen not to teach the scriptures and to just spout off all this nonsense, and you better believe that devils get involved. It's a very, very serious thing. Ministers have a book that we're supposed to teach out of, and people that do will do well. He goes on to say, Brother Brooks goes on to say, "Are there not multitudes in this nation whose visions are but golden delusions, lying vanities, brain sick fantasies?" Now, how's that for a phrase? That's like word salad. Brain sick fantasies. Wow. These are Satan's greatest benefactors, and such as divine justice will hang up in hell as the greatest malefactors. I love it. Brain sick fantasies. That guy could turn a phrase. I love it. And nothing could be any more appropriate to what this is. People need to come back to the Word of God and forsake these brain sick fantasies. In the book of Titus, we'll read a few more. We'll look at Titus chapter 1, verse 10 and 11. For there are many unruly and vain talkers. And here again, Paul, like Jesus, Jesus didn't say, now you might run into one here or there. Many. For there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision. These are the law without the cross people. Now, the law is good, but you take the law without the cross, you're of the circumcision, whose mouths must be stopped. Now, here again, this is something that, well, brother, we can agree to disagree. Nah, their mouths must be stopped. You cannot allow this to go on. It will spread like leaven. There is no demilitarized zone here. You're either over here or you're over here, you know. And if you're in the demilitarized zone, you're really on the left-hand path and you don't know it.
Right.
Whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching things which they ought not for filthy lucre's sake.
Is that money?
Yeah, it's money. That's what that is. That's money. And down in verse 13 and 14 here, this witness is true. Wherefore, rebuke them sharply. What strong language. Their mouths must be stopped. Rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in the faith, not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men that turn from the truth. We must rebuke them sharply because Jewish fables, commandments of men, it's not the truth. It's not going to give you the truth. It's going to turn a person away from the truth. So if I buddy up to these people and say, oh, we'll agree to disagree, I'm in the demilitarized zone. You know, and I'm a false teacher myself. You see, there's no middle ground here if you want to believe and obey the word of God.
You know, just even all three of these so far, just I keep thinking everything you're saying, and I just keep thinking about just, and I include myself in this, by the way. I'm just saying, just seems like in this country especially, claims to be, I think the latest count I saw, 75% of this country claims some sort of Christianity, okay? Yet, we allow all of these filthy and vile things to exist. You mentioned earlier, just if Christians would stand up for and be the lobby group that we are, when they're starting to say, we're going to do this. No, you're not. No, we're not doing that. It wouldn't happen. But because we're not sharply rebuking and standing up for the truth, because we've been taught so long that if we speak out the truth, then that's almost hate speech now. Or yeah, you don't have the love of God. You're going to scare people off. You got to have unconditional love. You know, you got to tolerate and all this stuff. But, you know, that's not what the Bible says.
Yeah. And
we're seeing the fruit of that.
Yeah, we are. And for those of us, and there'll be many, there's going to be a remnant. There's 7,000 that have not bowed the knee unto Baal. And for those people, we're going to wind up just like the Puritans. In the 1600s, we're going to be having illegal church meetings. We're going to be defying the government. We're going to be obeying God, defying the government. They're going to be after us. And that's fine because yeah, they made it through it. You know, we've talked about Bunyan. I think 16 years in 3 terms in prison, a man with a wife and young children, he wouldn't compromise.
Yeah, his last stint was like 12 years straight.
Yeah.
Something like that.
And God used it to give us such a rich body of literature. But yeah, there's a remnant. And over and over, I see us right now in the exact position that the Puritans were in there in the 1600s. And because of that, we can learn so much from them, so much from them, because there were some real spiritual giants that we can really be blessed from. And here's one from spiritual giant, Jesus Christ, Luke 8:18, the doctrine of Christ. Take heed, therefore, how ye hear, for whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he seemeth to have. You know, man, you know, riding the fence and trying to live in the DMZ, that's not going to get you anything.
Well, does that, do you think riding the fence equates with lukewarm?
Oh, yeah.
Well, what did Jesus say about lukewarm, you know?
Yeah. And you see, we are speaking to people. And I know we've got a remnant that loves God, and with many, we're speaking into the choir, but this DOC is really, the Lord's helping it to get out to a lot of people, church people. That's what we want.
Yep.
And we're living in a time when everything that comes over so-called Christian TV and Christian radio, it says lukewarm is okay. The government says don't assemble together. That's okay. That's okay, because the government said it. We know Hebrews 25, not to forsake it, but the government said. So we'll obey the government, not man. And we could just give a unending amount of examples how that the religious establishment today says lukewarm is okay. Yeah, don't be going out in a field having church under a tree. You know, you can't do that. You know, it's just so obvious what's happening that you don't have to be the sharpest spiritual knife in the drawer to see what's coming at us head on. In Romans 16, verses 17 and 18, the Apostle Paul said this. He said, "Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. For they are such, for they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good works and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple." And one more on this point before we move on. Jesus in Matthew chapter 24 and verse 4. Jesus said this, "And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you." And this is what the doctrine of Christ says. This is what Paul said. This is what the Old Testament prophet said. There's many deceivers out there. The gate's always been straight. There's always been more at the altar of Cain than the altar of Abel. So, and the only way not to be deceived is to get into the doctrine of Christ and not to swerve at it from the left hand to the right. Jesus is the truth. And that's why the doctrine of Christ and even the doctrine of Christ series, even our humble efforts here, when we lift up what Jesus said, you know, we're doing good. We're doing good, because that's what it's all about. That's the only way not to be deceived, to get back to what Jesus said.
Well, and he said even in the next verse, "For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, or I am anointed,"
yeah,
you know, "and shall deceive many."
Yeah.
So,
not just deceive one here or there, many.
Many will deceive many.
And the Word of God is, you know, over and over, we've brought forth week after week clear statements that Jesus made. You can't take them two different ways. It's just a matter of whether you believe them or not.
Yeah.
And when we believe Jesus, we're going to separate ourselves from every religious system of man. And I say, thank God for that. Jesus is the head of the church, not AOC or Nancy Pelosi, and we'll be a lot better off following him. Oh, yeah. Number four, false teachers easily pass over the great and weighty things, both of law and gospel, and stand most upon those things that are of the least importance and concern to the souls of men. Oh, yeah. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 5 through 7. Now, the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and of faith unfeigned, from which some, having swerved, have turned aside unto vain jangling. Now, we've got the commandment that comes out of charity and a pure heart, but some people have done this number. They're going and they go, meow, they swerve, and they go to vain jangling, you know, and that just means talking to hear your head rattle, just blah, 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 desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor whereof they affirm. I'm a teacher of the law. I'm a Torah teacher. Paul said, they don't even know what they're saying. They don't even know what they're talking about because they have swerved, you know, instead of being on what's most important. And we've done DLCs about the importance of the law and fulfilling the law through faith and love, fulfilling the law. But they've gone, yeah, you know, they've swerved under vain jangling. They've missed the curve, man. It's dead man's curve, and they just rolled the vet, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, boy. And, yeah, let me tell you how to pronounce some Hebrew words. Yeah, let me tell you how to pronounce the name of God. Yeah, let me tell you, you're going to have to be circumcised to keep Passover. And we had one of our listeners actually ask us, bless her heart, she was sincere as can be. She was a young woman. And they told her at this cult she was attending that when she had her period, she had to put a red ribbon in her hair. And I said, you know, ma'am, you're in a cult, run for your life.
That may be in the Talmud. It's not in the Bible anywhere.
That guy is just who we're talking about. Little vein jangling here. Guy doesn't know what he's talking about. And it's just like Brother Brooks said, these people are off on some nutwhacker nonsense. You're not going to hear the gospel. You're not going to hear the gospel that will enable a person to be born again, how to be taught by the Holy Spirit, to let the Holy Spirit be your teacher. It's going to be some kind of nutwacker nonsense that's not going to help you one bit. He had it pegged. The guy had it pegged. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 3 through 5. If any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, well, that's the doctrine of Christ, didn't it?
Yeah.
And to the doctrine which is according to godliness, well, that's the doctrine of Christ. He is proud, knowing nothing. Doesn't say, well, he knows a little bit. No, you don't know nothing. If you think that you can teach something else than what Jesus taught, you're proud. You don't know anything. It's not like you know a little bit. No, you don't. You're proud. What is more, could be more prideful than thinking that you can improve on what Jesus said? Not, there ain't nothing out there. He is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, and surmisings. Brother Brooks had it pegged. All right, number five, marks of a false teacher, Thomas Brooks. False teachers cover and color their dangerous principles and soul deceptions with very fair speeches and plausible pretenses, with high notions and golden pretenses. They know sugar-coated poison goes down sweetly. They wrap up their pernicious soul-killing pills in gold. And in Dr. Dave language, that means they can talk out of both sides of their mouth at the same time. And I tell you what, that's why the Bible says don't hear these people. Don't listen to them, avoid them, because I guarantee you they're smooth talkers. And if you listen to them after a while, you'll start believing them. They can be saying something totally different than what Jesus said. But if you just listen to them long enough, you'll have a spirit get a hold of you and you'll just be running after the bandwagon. Don't listen to them. They're smooth talkers out of both sides of their mouth. And that's why we need to cut them out of our life.
What was that scripture we read earlier? It says, like, stop their mouth.
Yeah.
Well, how did it say it?
Yeah, their mouth, whose mouths must be stopped.
Yeah.
Yeah, they must be stopped. And that doesn't mean we go get them and put a rag in their mouth, but that means in our assemblies and in any way of lifting them up, we absolutely draw a line. They're over here, I'm over there, and there's no bringing the two together. And we have to make that clear. And that's just so clear scripturally, because if we do not, people will be confused about what the truth is. And these marks of a false teacher, they're just absolutely amazing.
Yeah.
Let's look at Galatians 6 and 12. As many as a desire to make a fair shoe in the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised, only lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. And if you read in the second chapter of the book of Galatians, I'll just read the text, Galatians 2 and 3, Paul said, but neither Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised. And Paul talks about taking uncircumcised Titus to the Jerusalem church. First century AD, Jerusalem church, James, John, Peter, they did not compel him to be circumcised, but you go down to the Hebrew root church and they'll tell you, yeah, you need to be circumcised, celebrate Passover. Yeah, okay, shut up. You know, it's nonsense. It's not the Bible, it's cult stuff. It's obviously not the word of God, but right, it's Looney Tune cult stuff.
I've missed your colorful descriptions.
Yeah,
these last 2 months.
It's just time to talk real plain.
Yeah,
You got to tell me stuff plain so I can understand it, and that's what it is. It's not the Bible; it's cult stuff.
Yeah,
you know, their mouths must be stopped. There's no, let's discuss it, brother. Nah, just go on your way. Just go on your way. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, and let's pick it up in verse 13. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing that his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. Ministers of Satan that are transforming themselves into the ministers of God. There's some more straight talk, very plain. And people, you know, and we hear this, and all of these scriptures are so plain, but we don't want, and always what I hear, but my pastor's such a nice guy. He's such a nice guy. I bet he is. I bet he's good to his pets, and he's kind to grandma.
We're not arguing that.
That don't matter. You see, if he wasn't a nice guy that was charismatic, he couldn't keep a group together. Every guy is a nice guy with a good personality, or you couldn't keep together a group.
Right.
That doesn't mean a thing, not one thing. And this is how people transform themselves into the ministers of Christ, by all of these things that we should be able to look right by. Matthew 16, a couple more scriptures from Jesus. And once you get
they're my favorite.
Oh yeah. Once you get what Jesus said, you can see that whether it's the Old Testament prophets, whether it's the Old Testament law, whether it's the epistles of Paul, the book of Revelation, when we see the doctrine of Christ, it's all saying the same thing with the same spirit and the same truth. And in Matthew chapter 16, and let's look at verse 6. Then Jesus said unto them, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. And in verse 11 and 12, how is it that ye do not understand that I spake it not to you concerning bread, that ye should beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees? Then understood they how he bade them not beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. Point number 6 from Brother Brooks. False teachers strive more to win over men to their opinion than to better them in their own lives. Oh, yeah. Let's look at Matthew chapter 23 and verse 15. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye compass sea and land to make one proselyte, and when he is made, ye make him twofold more the child of hell than you yourselves. And so much, there is so little. You preach the gospel, and the Great Commission says, you teach them all things that I commanded you. And then you tell them that they don't need a teacher, that the Holy Spirit's their teacher, and you show them how to be taught by God. But no, that's now how not how it works. They want to control them. And, oh, yeah, you got to pay your tithes, and you got to be in my little shooting match every time the door's open, or God's going to curse you. And if you don't pay your 10%, God's going to curse you there. And it's about getting people in bondage to build their little empire. And that is not how the Holy Spirit works. People are to work out their own salvation in fear and trembling. It's not my job to micromanage every little thing in people's lives. My job is to preach the truth, tell people how to be taught by the Holy Spirit, and he'll show them the applications in their life.
Yeah. You know, every time I hear any scripture or any talk about fear, that's another one of those words that has been changed in modern church now. I have been in so many different church services where the minister would say, when he would read that, fear. Now, that means honor. That does not mean like scared and trembling and fear, like, ah. That means honor and reverence and, you know, monk-like kind of reverence. Yeah. And I don't, you know, to me, it means what it means. I mean, it does mean honor and reverence, but it means fear.
Oh, yeah. The
be afraid.
Paul said in Hebrews, it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Well, oh, yeah.
Think about these guys that had these visions, and they're before the throne room, and they just fall down like they're dead. I mean, is that reverence or was that fear?
Yeah.
Maybe both, but they definitely were afraid. Because that's what either the angel of the Lord or Jesus or whoever would say, fear not. So that's the very first thing. I don't think they were saying, honor not, reverence not. They were saying, fear not, don't be afraid.
Yeah.
In this situation.
And Jonathan Edwards in his sermon, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. Yeah. Oh, yeah. And here's a news flash.
That one's not popular anymore.
If you're not born again, God is mad at you. And the wrath of God rests upon you, according to the doctrine of Christ in John chapter 3. And he painted the picture of people that were walking across a very thin web, that they could fall through it at any time and plunge into the bowels of hell. Fear means fear. We need to have a good dose of the fear of God and serve our loving God from a heart of love. But oh yeah, that fear of God, the reality of eternal judgment, oh yeah, we need to talk about that a lot.
Yeah.
Because that's very good and very right. And that's just another thing that these man pleasers have totally put out of their, they don't even want to retain that in their knowledge. It's not even in their capacity to think like that, because it's totally against their theology. They can't go there in any capacity, not in any capacity.
I know Jesus was God and all, but he was pretty direct.
Oh yeah.
He didn't mince any words. And, I think my question to you, and maybe some other people would have this question. All right, so how can we, trying to be obedient to what we're learning tonight and to be direct and to be truthful, how do we do that? Is it even possible to be direct in a loving way without coming across as high and mighty and above you and all this kind of stuff? Is that possible? How did we do this?
Well, when I teach as I am now, I have to be very clear, and I have to talk in ways to the best of my ability to where there is no ambiguity or misunderstanding what I'm saying. And this is what I think anyone with the Pharisees, this is what the biblical writers did. Jesus did that. You know, he said, "You snakes, you vipers. You know, how you think you're going to escape the damnation of hell?" John Baptist and Jesus, all of them, they were very plain. And when I deal with an individual one-on-one, you know, I want to find a way to be able to speak to them. I want to have the Holy Spirit open a door to where I can start a dialogue and do my very best. And I will continue with the person until the point that I see that they are really rejecting truth that they understand. And at that point, I'll stop trying to deal with an individual. But we can do that. And that's a big job.
Yeah.
That's a real big job. But we can do that. And we can see many people brought to the Lord. And we're not going to help anybody, like Brother Brooks said, passing out sugar-coated poison pills. I love sugar-coated poison pills. That ain't going to help nobody.
You know, I just like to blame it on the Bible. I've had people manifest on me. They would ask me a question, and I would tell them the answer, and they didn't like it. And I would say, "Well, the Bible says," and "the Bible says this, the Bible says this." And then eventually I've had people like cuss at me, like, "You and your Bible," you know, I'm like, "Wow. Okay."
Yeah. And, we could just give so many examples of that.
Yeah.
And it's just a matter of, and you know, that's what we can't do. We can try to be as loving and compassionate with people as is possible. But the minute that we compromise holding back the truth of God from them, you know, we're a false teacher. And it's difficult dealing with homosexuals. And it's not that we diminish them as a human being.
Of course not.
They've done that themselves, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. But we cannot shirk from telling them what the Word of God says. And it doesn't.
And that's one of the tough. That's one of the toughest ones right there.
And they're all tough. Yeah. You know, there's so many tough ones out there today. And you know, all we can do is be led by the Holy Spirit and speak the truth in love. And we got to get them both in there. We have to have the truth, and we have to have love. And we can't do as so many to where we lapse into being a man pleaser and pass out sugar coated poison pills.
Amen.
And it's a big job, but the Lord will help us. And He is helping us, and we're seeing so many people respond to salvation and really following the Lord from a real heartfelt obedience. And I'm so thankful when you came to me and said, "Man, we need to do this Doctrine of Christ series," because it's been a help to a lot of people, Jimmy. I'm so thankful you did that.
Me being the main one that it's helped. I mean, I knew it would be great for me too. And it's taken it's taken me to a whole nother level, and I know that it's going to continue to do that. It's made a lot of things just so much clearer and just easier to understand, because it's like, what is Jesus? And now when I'm reading it, it really does just kind of jump out at me. And it's like, well, that's pretty clear.
Yeah.
I understand.
Yeah. And truth is a person.
Yeah.
I am the way, the truth, and life. Truth is a person.
That's right.
That was a man that was with the Father from all eternity. He was God himself. He came to earth to tell us the Father's words. He never lied. He never sinned. Everything was perfect, and we got it right here. And when we just get truth as a person, things begin to clear up real quick. The waters, those muddy waters, just get real clear.
Yeah.
Very quickly.
Yeah.
It's a wonderful thing. Philippians 2:12. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. There's that word fear again, and trembling. You know, yeah, you're so afraid you tremble a little bit, because these decisions that we make in our life, we've got to, and that's what the Lord wants. He wants each and every one of his children to make their decisions with fear and trembling based upon what he said. And in 1 John 2:27, but the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. The Holy Spirit, your teacher. Point number 7 from Brother Brooks. False teachers make merchandise of their followers. What a good one to conclude on. And, you know, they're wanting to move money from your pocket to theirs. And if you've never heard our teaching on the lie of the tithe, it's on FOJC Brideon. Go to our website. Go to our ministry news page. There's our Brideon link there. And the live.
Have you put it on your Underground Church YouTube channel yet?
It's not on the Underground Church YouTube. It is up on our Brideon.
Okay.
And you really need to study this. And
those links are in the description, by the way.
Yeah. It'll be in the link to this teaching here, which will be up on Jimmy Vision. And eventually, we're going to have more formats, Lord willing, to just spread the doctrine of Christ everywhere we can.
We're going to put it everywhere we can.
Yeah. Sister Donna said, go to the ministry news page for the link on our FOJC website. And in 2 Peter chapter 2, but there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways. And over, all of many are going to be following their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of, and through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. So clear. He says, They eye your goods more than your good. They eye your goods more than your good. There's a nice one there. That they may the better pick your purse, they will hold forth such principles as are indulgent to the flesh. Yeah. To more pick your purse, they'll tell you what you want to hear about what you can do and still be okay. Oh, my.
And that was already going on in the first century.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That's always been the way. Andy, one more statement here from Brother Books. He says, false teachers are the great worshipers of the golden calf. Oh, yeah, they always are. They're the great worshipers of the golden calf. These things are just amazing. And if everyone would just take these 7 points, you would put every false teacher away from you. And not only can you identify the false teacher, but you can also identify the true. And we'll just close out with one more scripture from the doctrine of Christ as we close out this first teaching on season 3. John chapter 10 and verse 12. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling ain't going to fight the wolf. He ain't going to tell you about the Freemasons. He ain't going to tell you about nothing, about nothing, about nothing. And that is what makes Jesus different. He fought the wolf. And every true shepherd, there are going to be a wolf fire. There are many. This lesson, I think, is such a blessed one from such a godly man that Mr. Brooks was. It's timeless. And there's such wisdom here that this teaching is as relevant today as when he gave it in the 1600s. And I just pray that we all lay it to our heart. And it will just enable us to walk in a greater level of discernment than we ever have.